afternoon. Happy Wednesday. It is Wednesday, June the 20th, 2021. I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports, part of Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio Network. Monday on his show, Vito said you should listen to Hank on Wednesday because that's Inauguration Day. I think Vito was trying to test me and see if I could do 1.5 hours to 2 hours of straight hurling. I cannot. So we will talk very minimally about the actual inauguration for various reasons. Hey, if you want to call in, 319-527-6706. If you want to just chat or, you know, log in. Go to blogtalkradio.com/global-patriot-radio or just log into Blog Talk Radio and hit the live button. You'll look for Global Patriot Radio down in the right-hand corner. It'll say how many chatters are here. You'll even see if there's other people here, so you can do that. You can listen on the phone without talking as well. Hey, you can always email me during the week, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. I have a Facebook page. I'm on Twitter at hpolysports, as is one of my listeners today, IndyHawk KB. He is on there. He's on Twitter. A couple of the others are on Facebook. At least Hawkeye Mike is listening in. I know he's on Facebook. Brother Tommy, he says he's been avoiding Facebook because he's a little bit depressed by it. I don't blame him. Hey, we have other shows too. Mondays, as I said, Vito and Al, the Vito Esposito Show, featuring Big Al, Mama Mia No Sharia, so you can pretty much guess what they talk about. Tuesday nights, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan. Compare and contrast Christianity and Islam and the truths of Christianity. Wednesdays, of course, Hank Jones with Hank Jones Poly Sports. Mwah. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul is a treasure trove of information and connections. Fridays, Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday. That one's an afternoon one, so if you're a working person, you may have to listen to that one on demand later on. Saturday nights at 10 o'clock, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Talk about someone intellectually who's so far over my head, it's not even funny. Actually, both of them, and Paul's in on that one a lot too. So Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. Again, for that one, you have to download an app. There are reasons for it. People have gone in there before and done some nasty stuff, so we can't have that. Hey, so we get some couple of sports deaths this week. One of them, I'm sure most of you know, Don Sutton, pitched 23 seasons in the major leagues, began and ended with the Dodgers. He also pitched for the Brewers, the Astros, the Athletics, 324 and 256 over that career, 3.26 ERA. He actually ranks 14th in wins in major league history. He is a Hall of Famer. Voted in 1998, I believe, if I remember reading that right. Passed away at 75 from cancer Monday. And then this one, it was a little more esoteric, but nonetheless, quite an illustrious career for this guy. His name was Tony Engel. He coached at BYU. He was an assistant, and then he became the interim. And he coached, I believe, 18 games that season when he was named the interim. Well, yeah, they got off to a 1-6 start, and they fired Roger Reed, and they brought Tony Engel on in 1996-1997 season. He went 0-19, which doesn't exactly get you many job offers, so no, he was not kept on as the head coach. He then went back. He was a scout for the Utah Jazz, went back into coaching at Kennesaw State, outside Atlanta, which was a Division II school, and took them to a national championship, beating Southern Indiana. Yeah, so he and they moved on to Division I, didn't go well, but he returned to his alma mater, Dalton State in North Georgia. He had actually played there in the early 70s. They were on a 35-year hiatus. He took them to 26-4 his first season, and then won the NAIA title his next year, going 32-4. So yeah, Tony Engel, kind of a neat career, you know, small town or small college story, but he had coronavirus, got it in December. He had some other complications and was on a ventilator and just didn't survive. So our thoughts and prayers are with both the Engel and Sutton families. Kind of sad stuff, but I mean, we're all going to go there someday, so let's not, you know, let's not get too maudlin. Let's hit some sports news. Ooh, news out of Tennessee is kind of run-of-the-mill stuff. Well, actually, it kind of depends on who you read. If you read ESPN, it's Tennessee fires football coach after internal investigation. Jeremy Pruitt's gone, fired with cause, not going to get his buyout, none of his assistants being retained, some recruiting issues. That's ESPN's version of it. If you go to Yahoo's version of it, which why? Would I go to Yahoo's version of it? I don't know, because I have a Yahoo email account. They talk about how embarrassing a situation it was. Phil Fulmer, the athletic director, resigned, they said. He just resigned. He wasn't fired. They said being masqueraded as – Yahoo says being masqueraded as a retirement. Tennessee, several years ago, if you'll remember, they had looked like they had hired Greg Schiano. At that time, was an assistant at Ohio State. They then, Tennessee fans and some big donors tried to implicate Schiano in some of the stuff that went on at Penn State when he was an assistant, which didn't stick, of course, and tried to implicate him in some stuff at Ohio State, which didn't stick. But they succeeded in getting him unhired, and now Schiano is at Rutgers and doing a decent job. I think he'll do well there, actually. He did well there before. But Yahoo just rips into Tennessee. Anybody want to take a guess? Indy Hawk KB, and since you're in the chat, if you want to type it, why do you think ESPN sort of just slow walked this back down the hole and Yahoo went after it so much? Well, I'll tell you why, since he's not chirping right in. ESPN, SEC. Tennessee, of course, is in the SEC, so ESPN and their love affair with the SEC couldn't possibly make this out to be what it was. Tons, I don't want to say tons, numerous recruiting violations. Stuff like, you know, contacting recruits during dead periods, bringing recruits to campus for unofficial visits when they're not supposed to have contact with them. This is their fifth coaching search now in the last 12 years. So, yeah, depending on who, you know, it's either very run-of-the-mill in Tennessee, it's just a firing, or it's Yahoo would have them under the death penalty. The Big Ten, the league has reprimanded and fined Penn State coach Jim Ferry, or I should say interim coach Jim Ferry. I remember Pat Chambers resigned right before the season over some unsavory happenings. They didn't really talk about it, but anyway, Jim Ferry, now they fined the university $10,000 and reprimanded Jim Ferry. They gave him a technical foul in their game against Purdue last Sunday. He voiced his concerns about officiating, and then he said it out loud, i.e. during a press conference, said, officiating was, quote, a little even, uneven, or inconsistent. And he says, I wasn't ranting or raving. I wasn't cursing. I thought there was a little oversensitivity on that. So the Big Ten said he was reprimanded not for the technical foul, but for his post-game comments. Big Ten, of course, expects all contests involving a member institution to be conducted without compromise to any fundamental element of sportsmanship, they said in a statement. Such fundamental elements include integrity of the competition, civility toward all, and respect, particularly toward opponents and officials. God, that's straight out of Kevin Warren's new playbook, isn't it? Yeah, it sure is. Hawkeye Mike he's hit the thing, but I'm going to give him time because there's a couple things I want him to be able to get my question. This is what I'm won't get tired of saying, even though one of my sisters who has attended this university is listening in, but Duke is out of the top 25. Again, Duke in basketball is out of the top 25. I don't think I'm going to get tired of hearing that for a while. I might just say it several times during the program. Duke is out of the top 25. Mrs. Hank is here in Electric Hankland Studios and asks, is Duke out of the top 25? Duke is out of the top 25. Sorry, sister. Gonzaga, Baylor still 1-2, Villanova 3, Iowa. My Hawkeyes move up to 4. Texas drops a spot.
4 for what?
We're 4th in basketball rankings. Mrs. Hank, we finished 6-2. We didn't get to play our bowl game. Mrs. Hank is really pushing things here. Tennessee is 6. Michigan dropped to 7 after their loss to Minnesota. They're not the first team to go into Minnesota and embarrass themselves, trust me. I know from personal experience watching on Christmas night. Anyway, yeah, so the Hawkeyes are now the top-rated Big Ten team again, but Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Minnesota, Illinois, Rutgers drops out, but those are all the Big Ten teams in the top 25. Yeah, Indy Hawk points out Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky are all out of the top 25. I will never get used to Indy Hawk. If you want to just type that, like put it in some kind of a bot to type it in like every 5 minutes or so, I would really enjoy that. Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky are all out of the top 25. It's true. Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky are all out of the top 25. NCAA tournament has announced some preliminary dates for preliminary March Madness rounds. Tipping off Thursday, March 18th, with the first four games. Those are the first four, you know, teams 65 through 68. And then the 19th and 20th will be the what they call the second round. It's the first round. The first four games is a play-in. I don't care what they say. First four, it's all going to take place at Mackey Arena in West Lafayette, Assembly Hall in Bloomington, Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Hinkle Fieldhouse and Indiana Farmers Coliseum and Lucas Oil Stadium, all in Indianapolis or surrounding. Sweet 16 is going to be the 27th and 28th of March at Bankers Life Fieldhouse and Hinkle Fieldhouse. The Elite Eight, March 29th and 30th at Lucas Oil Stadium, as will be the Final Four, April 3rd and 5th at Lucas Oil Stadium. It's hard to see a couple of teams that'll get in. By the way, Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky are all out of the top 25. Okay, enough of that for right now. Anyway, that's the preliminary schedule. So it looks like they're staying pretty much close to what they had planned this season for the college basketball March Madness. Now, the question becomes, like the college invitation tournament, the college basketball invitational, the CIT and CBI, don't know about those. Those are not NCAA sanctioned. The NCAA does, or I shouldn't say sanctioned, they're not owned by the NCAA. The NCAA does own the NIT. So good question on whether there will be an NIT tournament. My guess is no, but I've not actually seen it. Unless Iowa is in it, I follow the NIT about as closely as I follow Canadian football, which if there's an Iowa guy playing, I'll follow that. Golf, Tiger Woods has had a procedure to alleviate nerve pain in his lower back. He's going to miss two events and fifth back surgery. Yeah. A back injury in golf is pretty much akin to a knee injury to a running back in football. There's so much involved with the spine in golf in terms of movement and torsion and all that. When you think about it, that he's already come back from four surgeries to have a fifth one. Hey man, I'm not the biggest Tiger fan, but he's done a lot for the game, and it would be a shame in a way for him to end it like this. Hopefully he can get another season out at least, and then decide from there. According to Rory McIlroy, he actually had it on December 23rd. So yeah, I don't know. Just nerve stuff. So, I don't know, the particulars, but Indy Hawk wanted me to remind everyone, Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky are out of the top 25. All right. New York Mets, I should say, not Nets. New York Mets general manager Jared Porter has been fired, basically for creepy texting, sending explicit texts and images to a reporter. He sent explicit, unsolicited texts and images to a female reporter in 2016 while working for the Cubs in their front office. Yeah, that's the Cubs, all right. They always miss something. Owner Steve Cohen tweeted out that the Mets have terminated him, said this is not, he spoke about the importance of integrity, and he means it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. Yeah, he was, he sent some stuff. He said, I would like to get to know you, and then he sent pics. Final one he sent was an erect, naked crank. You know, I mean, obviously disgusting, but, you know, at least, I mean, I'm not for any kind of sexting, texting like that, but if you're going to do it, send a picture of your own. They should make it, like, mandatory so that way no one's going to tweet or text that stuff. I mean, if you had some kind of law or something, what a creep. I mean, he's 41 years old now, so this is back. So if this is fine, he's 36 years old. To a reporter, did he think it wouldn't get out? Did he think it might smack a low class, no class? That's just creepy. I mean, you hear about high school kids doing it, and then if like they're 18, they get charged and stuff like that. But a 36-year-old and going on, like, it happened for a couple of years, so 36 to 38 years old, let's say. Come on. Oh, man. I mean, I don't even like reporting this kind of stuff. So alone, I'm going to get back to bracketology. Joe Lunardi for ESPN, he is their quote, unquote, resident bracketologist. I said it that way because he did like three bracketologies. He did the standard 68 team projections. He then did a 48 team and a 16 team. I don't know why he skipped a 32 team, whatever. So he's done three. Basically, in all of those, there are two Big Ten teams on the number one seed line, Iowa and Michigan. The other number ones are Gonzaga. Who was the other Michigan? Oh, Baylor. That's right. Baylor. So yeah, going to be interesting. I think that what he's projecting in that obviously is what's going to happen in some conferences that'll drop some of those higher ranked teams right now lower. But yeah, in his full 68, he's got last four in being, the last four byes, he calls them, Florida, Michigan State, Duke, and Oklahoma. First four out are San Diego State, Richmond, Maryland, and Marquette. Last four in are BYU, North Carolina, Stanford, and Utah State. And then the next four out are Wichita State, Pitt, Syracuse, and Virginia Commonwealth. Yeah, I don't even know how you – I mean, just bizarre. On one bracket watch, he's got first team out of San Diego State and the last team in is Utah State. So anyway, so that's – go to ESPN just Google Joe Lunardi bracketology. He's got three of them. In all three, the Hawks are a number one seed. So, hey, good for him. Various draft entries into the NFL. Early Trey Sermon from Ohio State. If you remember, he was injured on his first and only carry, I believe, in the championship game. He's the number three draft eligible running back, according to Mel Kiper. He's leaving Ohio State this year after this season, so he's going to the draft. Set Ohio State record, 301 rushing yards. Actually, I don't think that's the record. It was a Big Ten championship game record, I know. And say goodbye to Trey Sermon. Elsewhere, Arizona or Alabama's got Mac Jones, Jalen Waddle, Christian Barmore, Patrick Surtain are all going to the draft. They're all leaving early. Najee Harris and Devontae Smith were already going. They were seniors, but they were, you know, they had that potential. Indy Hawk KB points out Iowa has never had a number one seed. I got to believe we had, well, I don't know if they seeded it back then. I got to believe back when in 54, 55 or whatever, or 56, when they were, they went to the final or whatever. I got to believe they had one then, but maybe not. Maybe not. So yeah, Alabama's losing a ton, which what does that really mean? That Alabama losing stuff doesn't really mean much. A couple of college football hirings. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Indiana. The Hoosiers have hired Georgia Bulldogs defensive back coach Charlton Warren as their defensive coordinator. Yeah, Kane Womack, who has done a really good job of, you know, Indiana for years has had decent offenses, no matter who the coach was, but their defenses were airless, not airtight at all. And Kane Womack, the last couple of years, improved them bunches, and he just got the head coaching job at South Alabama. So they got Charlton Warren from Georgia. Now, I don't think of Georgia as having the hottest pass defense, but maybe, I don't know. Michigan. You know, Don Brown got bagged as their defensive coordinator, so they hired Baltimore Ravens Mike McDonald. This is John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, throwing little brother Jimmy a lifeline to try and help him hold on at Michigan. 7 years with the Ravens, three coaching the linebackers. Worked also at Georgia. So, yeah, John Harbaugh gifting his brother Jim with a coach to replace Don Brown. Florida Gators have picked up a couple transfers. Daquan Newkirk from Auburn, defensive tackle, and another defensive tackle from Penn State, Antonio Shelton. They're replacing a couple guys that opted for the NFL, Kyrie Campbell and Tadarrell Slayton. The transfer portal has become the free agent. Really, it's just the free agent wire. Wandale Robinson from Nebraska, wide receiver, who they were using as a running back as well. He's transferring to Kentucky, so Mark Stoops getting a good pickup there. He actually initially committed to them out of high school and ended up signing with Nebraska. So, yeah, Wandale Robinson, when it rains and pours for Scott Frost there in Lincoln. Indy Hawks pointing out Philip Rivers and the Colts retired today. I hadn't seen that. Haven't looked. Looked for a couple hours. But, yeah, Philip Rivers, let's see, drafted and traded for Eli Manning with that. Because I think the Giants actually drafted him, and the Chargers drafted Eli, and then there was a trade. But they both had good careers. You know, Eli won some Super Bowls. Philip Rivers never did, but creditable career after a good quarterback at North Carolina State. In the basketball transfer wire, which is weird because this is in season, Nimari Burnett is leaving Texas Tech. He's a freshman. He was a five-star recruit, 6'4 guard, not getting much minutes. So he just said he's leaving. And when guys enter the portal now, coaches can totally drop them from the training table, whatever. Now, it's usually between the player and the school, but historically, it's not usually one where you see guys staying around. And Indy Hawk is asking for a quarterback for anybody that would send one to Indianapolis. Nate Stanley, probably available. West Virginia transfer Oscar Shibue committed to Kentucky. He's grateful for his time at West Virginia. Yeah, these guys love to tweet, don't they? He chose them over Miami, North Carolina State, and Illinois. He will practice with the team this season and be eligible next year. So far, it's not total free agency in the transfer market. It's going to get there, folks, believe me. Here's some not the news. Josh Gordon is suspended again, this time under the guise of playing for the Seahawks. Josh Gordon's a wide receiver who is he's kind of lived on suspension. Substance abuse, basically. I would assume, and said he had another setback in his recovery. So, yeah, he was nearing his return to the field after a year-long suspension, and then boom. Yeah. And substance abuse and performance enhancing substances. That is his sixth suspension since the 2013 season. And the fifth for some form of substance abuse. Sad. Guy's got some issues, that's for sure. Okay, more creepy. We're going to go more creepy. Former Notre Dame assistant basketball coach has been charged with 3 counts of voyeurism and 1 count of domestic battery. The way that's worded, I mean, it's like, was he watching himself beating the whatever out of, I don't know. Ryan Ayers, his relationship with 2 women over a 4-year span, allegedly recorded them naked or while having sex without their consent. Also accused of hitting one of the women in the face during a fight in his car. The St. Joseph County Cyber Crimes Unit recovered various images from his cell phone, where they seem to be unaware that a photo was being taken. Wow, Notre Dame, that's not good looking for their program, that's for sure. But hey, let's get on to politics news, folks. I hate that because it inches me ever closer to having to talk about that thing I don't want to talk about from today. Christian Post had an interesting take from Reverend Franklin Graham. Reverend Graham basically compared the 10 GOP House members that voted for impeachment with Nancy Pelosi, compared them to Judas Iscariot, or sort of did in a roundabout way. His comment was, the House Democrats impeached him because they hate him and want to do as much damage as they can. And these 10 from his own party joined in the feeding frenzy. It makes you wonder what the 30 pieces of silver were that Speaker Pelosi promised for this betrayal. Oh, as a reminder, I will read off the names of those GOP House members at the end of the show. I'm going to be doing that for a while, like for months and years until they get primaried or whatever. That's what I'm looking for. I'll keep reading their names. I absolutely will. I'm pulling the article up just because he said some other things. He named them by names. He said this, we've never had a president like him in my lifetime. He gave us lower taxes, a strong economy, low unemployment. He made NATO take notice and pay their own way. He had the guts to take on North Korea and meet with their leader personally. He didn't let China walk all over us. Just his Mideast peace initiatives in the last couple of months deserve a Nobel Peace Prize. He has defended religious liberty like no president before him, and that matters to all people of faith. He's worked to bring prison reform, secured our southern border. He defeated the ISIS caliphate in Syria, strengthened our military, and was the most pro-life president we've ever had. Yeah, that's pretty strong support, that's for sure. Now, Graham had called for Trump to meet with alleged President Joe Biden, saying it would begin the healing in preparation for a smooth transition. He requested that alleged Vice President Harris meet with them as well, with their spouses. So Vito, welcome. Vito's in the chat room, folks. Vito said you should listen to the show because I would be talking about the inauguration, and I thought that was cruel. I thought Vito was just trying to make me talk for 1.5 hours throwing up. I can't do it, so I'm just talking about other stuff. Anything not to talk about it. That is for certainty. Mitch Biden's bitch, McConnell, had rather strong words yesterday as he opened the Senate for its next term. Bitch said that President Trump, quote, provoked the incursion of the Capitol on 1-6-21, and that the mob was fed lies, and that the president and others were using those lies and that provocation to overturn alleged President Joe Biden's election. He vowed a safe and successful inauguration for today. Yeah, bitch, it's called bringing out the National Guard. For those living under a rock or in lefty la-la-la land, there were over 25,000 National Guard troops, among others, there to ensure the safety of the inauguration. That's about 25 times more that showed up for all of Biden's rallies combined during the election cycle. Oh, here's the good part. They were all vetted by the FBI. You believe that? Frankly, the FBI is like the very last federal entity I want vetting anything. Here's a couple questions. Why are we vetting National Guard troops? For what are we vetting? Do you really mean to tell me that either A, they want to make sure all the troops are not pro-Trump, or B, they need to make sure nothing interferes with this fraudulent process? I mean, bitch, were the 400-plus witnesses and affidavits lies? I can tell you, I'm about tired of the GOP establishment. I really am. They really are no better than the left DNC media industrial complex. They really aren't. Do they not get that National Guard troops have already been vetted? Or is this merely the beginning of their desire to purge, expunge, and erase? Yeah, add Omichi to the list of those we need to primary during his next election cycle. Oh, and top it off, there's an article on Breitbart.com by Peter Schweitzer talking about Mitch and his wife Elaine Chao, former Secretary of Transportation, talking about their ties to Red China through her family's Chinese shipbuilding company and how the ties keep growing. Yeah, shouldn't we be vetting Mitch and a few of his pals? Yeah, if you're losing confidence in our military, I kind of get it. If you've lost all confidence in the FBI, you're definitely not alone. Here's one they got right. A U.S. Army soldier stationed at Fort Stewart, Georgia, with the 3rd Infantry Division, was arrested yesterday. He was allegedly trying to help ISIS in a plot to strike, among other things, the 9/11 Memorial in New York City. 20-year-old Cole James Bridges, he's from Stowe, Ohio. He'd gone online to a chat room where he thought he was chatting with an ISIS member, but was in fact chatting with an undercover FBI agent. He apparently started researching and consuming online propaganda promoting jihadists and their violent ideology. He also expressed support for ISIS and jihadists in general on social media starting in 2019. He joined the Army in September of 2019 and started chatting with the FBI agent online in October of 2020. He began giving instructions for attacking various targets in the U.S. He also gave U.S. Army training materials and guidance about combat tactics. In December of 2020, he started supplying the FBI agent with instructions for ISIS fighters to attack U.S. forces in the Middle East, including wiring ISIS buildings with explosives and, quote, diagramming specific military maneuvers intended to help ISIS fighters maximize the lethality of attacks on the U.S. So that's one we can chalk up for the FBI. We can go a clap on that one. I'm going to listen. You know, there's probably a soundbite for a clap. I'll look. I know we got all kinds of sound. Oh, there's a clap from Mrs. Hank. So, way to go, FBI, on this one. Creepy, though. I mean, why do we still have this in our military? I mean, why do we still have guys doing this? How'd this guy slip through? I really don't know. Okay, have to talk. Okay, I did not watch the inauguration. I did listen to President Trump's messages yesterday and part of today. He was gracious, unlike alleged President Biden, who has continually tried to belittle or blame the president for everything. The news has also come out that President Trump and VP Pence each left notes for the successors. There'd been speculation that President Trump would not do that. They did. President Trump was gracious and wishy. He did not mention alleged President Biden by name, but he did wish the administration success and good luck and said if they keep to his policy, they will have nothing but success and good luck. Unfortunately, I did hear one soundbite from the inauguration, which was Bitch Mitch attempting to be funny. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to – you can Google it, Mitch McConnell. He was trying to be funny. He said something about, ha-ha, we have now two children of the Senate. In fact, they bypassed the House. He thought he was being funny. I have only this to say. He sucks at it. He isn't funny. He isn't clever or cute or gifted with any sort of gift for irony or sarcasm or clever wit. He just sucks at it. I mean, how bad does he suck at it, you're asking? Put it this way. When a guy trying to be funny makes me long for an all-Shemp Three Stooges marathon, you can pretty much conclude, yeah, when it comes to funny, this guy sucks at it. So, yeah, we're all supposed to be unified. We're supposed to sing Kumbaya and hold hands with diverse peoples. So please tell me, where is the unity here? James Comey saying, any Republicans that support President Trump ruin the party. Where is the unity in continued calls for deprogramming and re-education of Trump supporters? Where's the unity in reversing all these, in the calls for alleged President Biden to reverse every one of President Trump's executive orders? Yeah, I don't get that warm, cozy either. Speaking of the inauguration and executive orders, how's this for hypocritical irony? Like I said, the National Guard troops, 25,000 strong, about 2,000 were deputized as deputy U.S. Marshal. They were background checked and vetted before getting final assignment. Now, in that vetting process, 12 people were released. 12. How are they able to vet that deeply? 12 people. Never mind the fact that alleged President Biden wants to not allow continuation of border wall construction, yet he turns D.C. into a city of walls. But seriously, vetting National Guard troops? Those people already took an oath, did the training, and they're doing the serving. To top it off, in the only kind of hypocritical irony that so defines the left DNC media industrial complex, alleged President Biden intends to reverse the travel ban on 7 countries that sponsor Islamic terrorism. Yeah, no vetting there, but yeah, let's vet our National Guard troops. On that note, yeah, there were some that said they feared an attack from insiders days before the inauguration. They feared an attack. How was there going to be an attack? Answer me that. If you saw any photos, any video, any news footage, how was there? I mean, it literally looked like the bad side of the demilitarized zone. I mean, speaking of, yeah, Vito points out, no vetting done of alleged President Biden or alleged Vice President Harris. Other reversals include transgenders in the military, the Keystone XL pipeline, and of course, the travel bans instituted after the onset of COVID-19. The alleged president has also stated he will fully endorse transgender rights in all schools, including sports participation. There's no word yet on whether he's going to pretend the total non-existence of Title IX. I've talked about this before. For those that support trans rights, like trans people competing as other sex, then you can't say you support Title IX. You simply can't. To have a biological male running track against biological females, but calling that biological male a female, flies in the face of Title IX. It's absolutely atrocious. And as Steve Dace said on this program a year and a half ago, it's a mental disease. Seriously, we are now vetting our own National Guard troops. I mean, does anyone else, anyone aside from me, find this revolting, not to mention insulting? President Trump last night ordered declassification of some of the Crossfire Hurricane documents from the Russia collusion hoax. Essentially, what needed to stay redacted will stay redacted for security purposes. At this point, it's basically a wait and see on how soon we, the people, will get widespread or comprehensive access and how soon they try and bury it. Here's a shock. This one's a shock. Anthony Blinken, he is alleged President Biden's nominee for Secretary of State. He actually said President Trump's administration took the right stance toward China. but he didn't like the approach, whatever that means. But yeah, he appearing before the Senate, he went so far as to say that it's helpful to U.S. foreign policy. Folks, this guy's going to be attending Camp Correcto pretty soon. Oh, you haven't heard of Camp Correcto? Let's just say that those who attend Camp Correcto will be wearing a lot of Mao green and Mao gray clothing. Now, the only question is whether those attending will be tattooed or chipped. And we can assume the student camper has no choice on that. Here's an excerpt from the Epoch Times article talking about this. Basically, he says, if we're pulling back, that gives Red China a free field. I call it Red China. I've told you this before, why I called them Red China, because my mom called them Red China. So that's what I'm calling them. Tackling the various threats has bipartisan support. Trump's administration broke with previous administrations to take a firmer approach, confronting Red China on a range of fronts, including security risks posed by Chinese technology, human rights abuses, and theft of U.S. technology. There's been some criticism of the administration for being too unilateral in its foreign policy actions, which has occasionally been a hard sell to allies. Who cares? But Blinken said, there's no doubt that the Red China regime poses the most significant challenge of any nation state, to the United States. He also acknowledged that the previous consensus that had formed the U.S. policy of engagement toward China, that, quote, economic liberalization would lead to political liberalization in the country, was wrong. He actually said, a position of strength when we stand up for our values, when human rights are being abused in Xinjiang, or when democracy is being trampled in Hong Kong. He agreed with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's January 19th declaration that Red China is committing genocide against the Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. He says, Blinken says, the U.S. is stronger when we acknowledge the failings of international institutions like the UN and try to fix them. Multilateralism for multilateralism's sake doesn't help anyone but bureaucrats, globalists, and lawyers. Yeah, this guy's going to Camp Correcto. There's no way this guy's going to survive 4 years of an alleged President Biden administration with that kind of talk. He said, regarding the virus outbreak, now this is rich in irony. Red China didn't provide transparency. They didn't share information. They didn't give access when it mattered most in the early days of the virus. Had they done so, it's possible that the course of this virus would have been different. We could have dealt with it sooner and more effectively. A certain administration's been saying that all along. And your boss ran on the premise that the previous administration didn't do that, that it was the previous administration's fault, not Red China's. Yeah, dude, you're going to Camp Correct. I applaud you for saying it. I don't applaud the hypocrisy. And I definitely know you are going to Camp Correcto. My guess is alleged President Biden's handlers will send word to the Senate that you're not to be confirmed and or you are going to go on an immediate hiatus after confirmation because you are going. There's no way they're going to let you survive a term doing that. No way. But it's refreshing to hear that somebody finally admitted it. Well, here's good news. A Memphis police officer, an on-duty police officer, is in kind of a jam. Yeah, on-duty Memphis police officer charged with kidnapping and killing man. This is not a white cop kidnapping a black man, by the way. Now, they don't show a picture of the victim, but the cop himself is definitely not white. A 29-year-old Memphis police officer is facing a slew of charges after police say he allegedly kidnapped and killed a man while on duty. I'll tell you what, that's bold. That's bold plus. I mean, Patrick Ferguson, armed with a handgun, forced the 30-year-old victim, Robert Howard, into his squad car, drove the victim to a separate location where he allegedly shot and killed him. Howard had been reported missing around 8:30 p.m. on January 6th, nearly 24 hours after he was allegedly forced into Ferguson's squad car. He was last seen around 5 p.m. the night before. The officers attempted to use an app to track the victim's cell phone, but where they found the phone, they did not find the victim. Wow. So Officer Ferguson, or former Officer Ferguson, is known to the victim, but they didn't release any details. Oh, the victim appears to also be black. They charged a second man for helping move the victim's body after he was killed. Here's the understatement of the year from the Memphis Police Department director. No one is above the law. Knowing that a Memphis police officer, someone who took an oath to protect and serve, made the decision to commit this horrific crime is devastating. His actions were not that of a law enforcement officer and should not reflect on fellow officers. I should have done it Hank Hill's voice. Hello, officers. Who the hell is that doing that? We've got a grab bag of finish off politics before we take our break, but I'll bring on Hawkeye Mike first. Because he might win the prize at the end of this little grab bag. First, in our grab bag, Iowa Senator Johnny Ernst questions the constitutionality of impeachment. Alan Dershowitz actually refutes it with precedent. He says the precedent is when Nixon resigned, the Senate ceased because they had no purpose in continuing. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell says that Kohl's, along with Bed Bath & Beyond, will no longer carry his company's products. Remember, he's one only went to a meeting with President Trump last week. Of course, that means I will no longer set foot in Kohl's or Bed Bath & Beyond. President Trump, late in the game, signed an executive order expanding federal prosecutors' abilities to carry a concealed firearm. Let's see. Parler's website is back up. No thanks to Amazon. Georgia GOP House Representative, Congressional Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene had her Twitter suspended. Guess what else she did? She drew up articles of impeachment for alleged President Biden and the alleged Vice President. Drew up articles of impeachment already. So, yeah, Twitter suspended her. She said it was something, or they said it was something else. Michigan Republican House Member Pete Meyer, one of the 10. He says his impeachment vote may have ended his political career, but that he doesn't regret it. Yeah, trust me, sport. I'll be saying your name every week on this show until we see that conclusion of your political career. Well, here's good news. A NASA researcher has pleaded guilty to concealing ties with Red China. Finally, a Georgia man who was arrested after entering the U.S. Capitol has committed suicide. Supposedly shooting himself in the chest. Yeah, sure he did. He was Arkansas-ed. Wonder what he knew. Okay, here are two little quiz questions, and Hawkeye Mike has been waiting patiently. First one, Lindsey Graham calls for impeachment to be stopped, while Dick Durbin says he won't whip for it. One of these people is lying. Free on-air recognition for the first caller who can tell me which of these two distinguished senators is lying. Call now, 319-527-6706. Let's see if Mike is ready. Mike, you there?
Yeah, how's it going, Hank?
Good, how you doing? So who is lying? Lindsey Graham calling for impeachment to be stopped, or Dick Durbin saying he won't whip Democrat senators for impeachment conviction?
I'll be generous to Graham and say Durbin's lying. I think they are whipping.
Okay, so everyone, this is Hawkeye Mike. We were buddies and roommates in college, and he properly called it that Dick Durbin is lying. So I will acknowledge him as the sly fox that he is. Now, in this week's Heartwarmer feature, You probably know the answer to this one, too. A high school principal of a certain high school in Shelby County, Tennessee, has been placed on leave by the school district. Now, one would think, what, sexting or getting it on or trying to get it on with a student or plying the kids with booze and weed? No. Nothing so honorable or adventurous as that. It seems our principal spoke out on social media censorship. If you get the answer to this, I'll give you a free 15 minutes on a future show. So was he speaking out supporting social media censorship, or was he speaking out against social media censorship?
So he was suspended. That has
yes.
to mean that he was against social media.
You win. You got down in the road. You're going to get a free 15 minutes to tell us all about your thoughts on politics and sports and what happens when they meet. Yeah, can you believe that? They place him on leave for that? What is this planet
to? We're in this sort of, since January 6th, right? We're in this sort of surreal, almost McCarthyite world where the left is just milking this. It's not just, this isn't just about Trump. It's about destroying the 74 million people, or tainting them, that voted for him.
Yeah.
If you supported Trump, you're a racist. You're a bigot. And you really want to overthrow the government, No, we just want to drain the swamp.
Exactly.
To them, that's the same. There's no difference, to them.
But
yeah,
Tennessee.
Go
ahead, I'm sorry.
I that is surprising, actually, because, you'd think that would be you'd be kind of safe down there. But where exactly in Tennessee? Like in Nashville?
Shelby County. Yeah, I can only imagine it's.
Yeah, I think Shelby County is either Nashville or Memphis. So you're talking about these.
Or it could be Knoxville.
Democratic.
It could also be.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar in that, but that's a college town, obviously. But you're in this world where even in the South, red states, where you get into these, it's like Texas, right? If you're in Austin,
Yeah, true.
It might as well be San Francisco. I mean, that's where they're at.
Yeah, true. It is Memphis. Shelby County is Memphis. So, yeah.
It occurs to me if Biden really wants to be, a unifier. And by the way, I did hear him today say that the letter he received from Trump was a generous letter. So we'll see what that means, if that means anything, or those are just empty words. But if he really wants to be a unifier, he could put the kibosh right now on this in any Senate trial for impeachment. It's vindictive and petty. The man is not even in office. And, as far as whether it's constitutional or not, it's never been done, to my knowledge, certainly at the presidential level. And
right.
So, we're in uncharted territory here. But there was a good point about someone made about when Nixon resigned. They treated that as the impeachment as moot at that point.
Exactly.
Now, that would indicate to me, and that is a precedent, that would indicate to me, and I think Graham's right on this, and certainly Dershowitz, that to impeach somebody who is no longer in office is nonsensical. The purpose of impeachment is that you've engaged in conduct that warrants your removal from office. But what's going on here is that's not good enough. They want to go to the next step and make sure that they can, because if he's convicted. And I don't think it'll happen. I don't think there's 17 Republicans that are going to vote, but we'll see. Then he can be barred from holding future office. And that's what
right.
this is about.
Absolutely, that's what it's about. It has nothing to do with holding him accountable. I mean, they know. I mean, anybody who listens to that, to the transcript of that speech – knows that the president did not incite anything, or the former President Trump. President Trump did not incite anything. He did not call for any violence. He did not call for storming the Capitol, and nothing, none of it. It's unbelievable what they're trying to saddle on that. It's just, I don't know how they're, I mean, how are they going to conduct a trial on that? It's just it makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, so, you know, let's see what happens. You know, let's hope that some sort of sanity is restored. But it would hardly promote unity if we have this kind of a divisive trial of a man that's no longer in office. I mean,
yeah.
You know, come on. And if there's enough Republican senators that would be willing to vote to convict, it would be political suicide. It would blow up the Republican Party. It's that
yes, it
simple,
would.
Really.
Yeah,
it's
it
that
would.
Simple. I mean, think about the 74 million people that voted to elect Trump.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, because that's what we're talking about. The Republicans have a prayer in future elections. They got to hold that coalition that Trump put together.
Yeah.
And there's a lot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other reasons, you know, that in terms of what he did in his 4 years in office. And by the way, we didn't hear unity at all for 4 years. And now,
yeah.
Oh, we have to move on and be unified and everything. You know, I'm sorry, but yeah, I'm not buying this, and I don't think most of the people in the Republican Party are, but or certainly the Trump supporters. But if the Republican Party tries to go back to the country club Republicans of old, and I mean it's just political suicide. The recipe was the recipe that Trump put out, and you know whether Trump comes back or not in terms of running again, that's got to be the way the Republican goes. And I think most people know that. I mean, I think even Lindsey Graham has said that, you know, that this would blow up the Republican Party if they go forward on impeachment. And like Nikki Haley has said that the policies of the Republican Party that have come forward in the last 4 years under Donald Trump is the future of the party. And if that changes, they're finished, and rightfully so.
Absolutely. Absolutely rightfully so. I mean, it's just
America First is a message. And one final thing on this. If it hadn't been for COVID, Trump would have sailed the reelection. I don't think anybody, even on the other side, really, if you get them alone, would argue with that. It's COVID that they used to bring him down. It destroyed the economy for certainly at a critical period to lead up to the election.
Yeah.
And they with the help of the complicit press, they beat this dead horse right up to election day that Trump, you know, failed. Actually, I think if you look at it objectively, he got no credit from the mainstream media.
Absolutely.
And people were feeling bad. But if you look at where it was, like you go back to February after that failed, stupid attempt to impeach him over a phone call, and the economy was booming, he was sailing to reelection. And you know, who would have seen this coming, you know, at that time, that what was going to happen? And these lockdowns that we've had for the last almost year now were worse in the blue states.
Governor Cuomo is calling for
it. It was the Democratic Party that did this, you know. And I, you know, I'm maybe it's wishful thinking, but my hope is this. In 6 months, you give them the Democrats a little rope here for the next 6 months. People are going to be saying, you know, we need Trump back.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, hopefully, I mean,
the Democrats always overreach.
Starting in 2022, they need to defeat Warnock. Vito had a guy on his show the other night, Jeesky Rocks, who talked about what happened with. He said he gave Loeffler a pass because she wasn't exactly, you know, a long term. You know, she her campaign crowd blew it and didn't you know Purdue. You know, he was a little different. But he said, but Loeffler, I mean, Purdue had no business losing, but Loeffler, he gave her a pass because you know, what happened with her campaign and stuff.
Really wasn't a very good candidate. But I think there's no mystery as to what happened in the runoff. If you look at the November election, as much questions as we've all had about that, right? Purdue was 90,000 votes ahead, even as Trump supposedly under the certified results lost by 12. Purdue was 90,000 votes ahead, 2 percentage points ahead. So what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. If you look at the vote then, and you look what happened on January 5th in that vote, roughly his vote went down 250 to 300,000 votes. And the Democrat vote did not go down nearly as much.
That was the difference.
The Republicans did not come out. And the same thing happened to Loeffler, by the way. It was down again from the vote when Trump was on the ticket. So you know, Republicans didn't get their vote out and they lost.
And I think a lot of them didn't, because they just said, forget it, you know. And I think they were mad at Republicans in Congress and in the Senate for not speaking up on the, you know, some of the allegations of fraud. I mean, even now, people like I'm trying to think who it was, are saying stuff like, well, this was all fake. There was no proof on any of this. There was plenty of proof. Yeah, I just can't believe it got ignored. But here's a question I have for you. This is a one that I've been thinking about, and Vito and Al might have covered it. But what about the peace, the Israel peace agreements that Trump brokered? Admittedly, and not just himself, but with the help of his team. But, you know, some of those peace agreements, do you think a new administration is going to work to derail those?
Well, let's hope not, but we'll have to wait and see. You know, the Democrats always seem to have a tendency, particularly when you've got someone from the Israeli right in power like Netanyahu, to want to, to kind of go pro-Palestinian. And the Israelis are the ones holding things up. Which is a complete distortion of reality, I think. But, they've got these agreements in place. And, they're undoubtedly a good, groundbreaking, I think, when you basically have Israel making peace with several Arab nations and really probably on the cusp. And it would have happened if Trump had been reelected, with Saudi Arabia, too, which would be the big piece. Yeah. Do they really want to torch all that? That would make for an So the funny thing is, it's like, Republicans come in, they talk national defense and they build up defense, and the Democrats are, supposedly the peacenik party, and they don't. And yet, it's always when Democrats get in that we end up in a war for some reason.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
In the name of
solidarity with our allies, we're going to war. So,
Yeah.
I think it was part of the reason why Trump won in 2016. People were tired of what was going on. You know, Afghanistan seemed to be never ending. Same thing with Iraq. And we'll find out. To get back to your question about that, I think that's a real question. We'll probably find out pretty quick what the attitude of this administration is on that. But I wanted to harkens back to something that you said, Hank, that I have to agree with. It's today was a depressing day. And so my view is we got 4 years of this stuff. I think I'll concentrate more on sports.
Yeah. Well, from my perspective,
at least we have the Hawkeye basketball team. At least it looks like it's going to be a groundbreaking season. We'll have to see.
Tim Tapp has a show elsewhere on Blog Talk Radio, a really good show. And I was in his chat room one night and he said, boy, I got to hand it to Hank. It must be really tough for him right now with very little sports. And it was like, there was more stuff to talk about without sports for everything that had gotten screwed up, especially when we talk about Kevin Warren, there was more of that to talk about than there was ever during the season. And even now, most of the sports news has nothing to do with the sport, unfortunately, at least in the pro side. In the college side, there's still some games actually being played and some stuff that actually has some meaning to people. But from the pro standpoint, not really. Hey, I got another call.
Go ahead.
Stay on the line. I'm just going to bring him in and see who it is.
Okay.
Hey, you're on the Hank Jones Poly Sports Show. Who am I speaking with?
Steve from Indiana. How's it going, fellas?
Good. How are you? Not Steve Alford, I hope.
Better than I deserve. No, not Steve Alford.
We wondered what happened to him.
So what's up, Steve?
To me, it's just an unfortunate situation where the media. I mean, it just seems like the media just pretty much runs the country. I mean, you can get away with pretty much anything you want as long as you have the media on your side. And it's unfortunate. It's like the American people just won't believe it unless an elite person gets on national television and tells them to their face, okay, this is what happened. This is the crime that we committed, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know what to tell you guys. It's like, what evidence or, I mean, what do you, I don't know what the people expect if people can't investigate and they can't understand fraud and they can't understand agendas to, you know, reduce population, or they can't understand deceptions and delusions, like the Bible talks about. Nobody can help you, American people. If you can't recognize these things, nobody's going to be able to help you. If billionaire media companies are running the show and it's not true unless the mainstream media tells us it's true, nobody can help you. Nobody's going to be able to help you. And the Bible's going to fulfill itself because TV sets.
Yeah.
And I think it was, which president said the American people won't believe it unless the television says it? I think it was Nixon. The American people won't believe it unless the media says it. One of the presidents.
Yeah, I think it was unless they see it on TV. That's a good point. I think that's a good point. But I do think it's not quite as bleak as you're making out in this sense. I think that they're still shocked in the swamp that 74 million people or 75, whatever the final amount is, came out and voted for Donald Trump. Republicans gained in the House, won some Senate seats despite the screw-up in Georgia that they didn't think they were going to win. And that plus the fact that I do think that the average person out there does know what's going on with the media. It's just that the mainstream media has become, like you're pointing out, basically an arm of the Democratic Party, and that's where we're at.
Well, Steve makes another good point when he mentioned the Bible. I mentioned earlier in the show, Franklin Graham said President Trump has been, as far as religious liberty, has done more than any president. And he's right. You know, President Trump has never gone outwardly with, I'm Mr. Christian. He's never done that. I believe he's a man of faith, but he's never trumpeted around as, trumpeting his superiority as a Christian. But as a nation, media has done wonders at trying to tell us that we can't put it in schools or that we can't put it, can't put it anywhere. Can't put it in. I mean, it won't be long before any office that has it, you walk into a private office and if you've got a picture of Jesus there, if we're on the slope that we've been on, that day could come where it could literally be take that down, or you'll be fined. So if we don't, if we just sit there waiting and saying, the one that's been going around lately, first they came for the communists, but I didn't care because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the business owners, but I didn't try and stop them because I wasn't a business owner. And they came for this person. And then finally there was nobody left to when they came for me, there was nobody left to take up my cause, and that's where we are. In one sense, in that we've just said, we've let the belief that the Constitution actually says separation of church and state. It does not. Nowhere does it say that. It does say that government cannot establish a religion and that government cannot, impede people in their quest for religion, but it doesn't say that church and state must be separate. I mean, there have been times when, when Pat Robertson ran, it was like, well, this is wrong. When Reverend Jesse Jackson ran, nobody cared. That was just fine, because he cared about the people. We've let them in, and a lot of that has been media manipulation. We have allowed it to happen. We've allowed, Hollywood lobby and other non-Christian faith lobby against us. I'll leave it. Well, no, the Islamic lobby. Let's just say it. Islam has a bigger lobby than people realize. It both on a national level and on several state levels. And look, I don't, as I've said before, I really parrot someone else. I'm not against Muslims. I am against Islam. The average Muslim is not a killer. It's not somebody who hates every American who believes in Jesus or believes in God as a Jew. They don't. The militant ones, and that's because of Islam, it's allowed. That's what's happening, and that's religious liberty. We're underestimating it now. They've been the stuff of Joe Biden will be the second practicing Catholic in office. Practicing being the operative word in terms of he needs work at it.
Yeah,
but
who rejects most of their teachings, like particularly on abortion, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But he's a practicing Catholic. My understanding mm-hmm. is that and it's not going to happen. But I thought that I'm not a Catholic, so I'm not an expert on this, but I thought the view was that if they did not accept the major tenets of the church, such as abortion, that they weren't supposed to be allowed communion. But I don't see that happening.
Well, especially
and if China is the future of the world, then that's too. If China's the future and they've got millions of Muslims and Christians in slavery, they bomb churches in China. I see China as the future of the world because their currency is going to increase in strength. And if China's the future, then they don't care about your constitution. They don't care about your religious freedoms. I do see we can have some terrorism. There can be some right-wing terrorism over the election. And that's another thing that's being underestimated, too. This could have been done to create extremists in the country, to create right-wing terrorists. This could have been done on purpose, to create. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if they take these draconian measures, to ban conservatives from social media, so that's only going to fuel division, and what can come from that. It's not gonna unify anything.
Correct. No, it's something we've got to be cognizant of. And
you
I would
can't
say
pay
that
me cash money. You cannot pay me cash money to park my car near the CEO of Twitter. You can't. Because
yeah.
I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know if these people are gonna last to the end of the year. I don't know if this Wall Street guy start getting assassinated. I don't know what's gonna happen. It kinda depends on if the left is gonna put the handcuffs or push you guys into a corner. To conservatives to a corner to the point where people feel like, hey, I have nothing to lose. Joe Biden's pretty much flushed our constitutional rights right down the toilet. If we want to start assassinating guys, and remember what Thomas Jefferson said about the Tree of Liberty, it needs to be refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants. There are going to be some conservatives that feel that way. Unless we start taking lives and putting fear into politicians, they're not going to take us seriously, and we're going to lose all of our constitutional rights. So this year is going to be very, very interesting. I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead.
No, that's great. I mean, very, very astute comments. I mean, I think, yeah, we could see it. It might not be this year, and some people are putting their hope in 2022 as an example, saying, hey, we can get more Senate seats. Raphael Warnock is up again in 2022. So that's, it doesn't give a lot of time, but a better candidate could certainly, change that, So, and frankly, the Republicans could gain more in the House. As Mike pointed out before, historically, midterms are great for the opposition party in the House of Representatives. So, those kinds of things can happen. And of course, the one we haven't talked about, but it's the one everybody is talked about outside of this medium, and that is, how long is Joe Biden even going to be serving as president of the United States? They've opened the door with the concept of the 25th Amendment with President Trump. But guess what? Now that they've opened that door, it's the second they want to use it on Joe Biden, they will. And so if the thought of a Joe Biden presidency scares you, the thought of a Kamala Harris presidency should absolutely, send your blood pressure through the roof and your – and your fear. I mean, it's just, you can't.
What does
she
even stand for? What did she even run on? What did she even talk about doing? Is Kamala more to the all the way to the left, or is she more moderate, like Joe?
No, she's not moderate. I joked around that if Biden wins, I'll pray for his health every day, because the alternative to him is you know what now, and I can't even contemplate that.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, she's so far left. And as Vito's talked about on his show numerous times, whether she was even eligible to be elected is another question. You know, and we talk about vetting our National Guard, but we're not vetting our candidates anymore. You know, her eligibility to serve.
I'd be interested in seeing what you two think about, you know, how long will Biden last? You think he'll make it all 4 years?
Oh, no.
He's going to get 100 days and bye-bye. Because if you cannot remember the name of Barack Obama, that is a major, major dementia problem. So now, omega-3,
right.
You know, he may have people helping him with his brain health, like omega-3, some krill oil. And they say, Biden, you need it. He might be taking a bottle of krill oil every day to get his brain health back into order. But the first 100 days after that, hey, 25th,
yeah.
Mala.
Yeah, Indy Hawk pointed out.
Expect parades, too.
Exactly.
Indy Hawk pointed out in the chat room that Kamala Harris has been rated far more left than Bernie Sanders, to give you an idea. So that's how left she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's,
she's from the AOC wing.
You know, what she ran on when she was running as her candidacy for president, you know, and the fact she accepted the nomination as vice president tells you something. I mean, it tells you that it's just creepy, because, I mean, you can't even imagine that they would be, you know, running mates, you know, under that scenario. But somehow,
and then AOC gets everything she wants. AOC, but we do have one senator that switched from the left to the right. I forget his name. Joe Manchin.
Well, we'll find out. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll
Joe
see.
Joe might hold the line for us. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
If he said anything extreme, Joe said he can forget about it. Anything extreme, he's not going along with it. It kind of reminds me of the Blue Dog Democrats in the first year.
Just a vanishing
breed. Yeah.
Yep. Hey guys, I'm gonna let you run. I've got another caller I want to take, so. But I want to thank you both for being on, Mike. We'll talk more, of course. Steve, thank you very much for calling. Whereabouts? Do you mind? Are you a Hoosier or a Boilermaker or neither? Or
a Hoosier.
A Hoosier. Okay. Well, Mike and I are a couple of Hawkeyes. So. So.
Hey, big game tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night, and that's never a fun opponent, dating back to Bobby Knight days. I mean, it's just never been an easy win, no matter what. So, guys, well, thank you for being on. I'm going to bring my other caller in. So, thanks a lot for being on.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Mm-hmm. Take care, Hank. Okay.
You too, Mike. Thanks. And I'm bringing another caller in. I believe this is Brother Tommy.
Yeah. I just wanted to echo Steve's thing. Biden's got 6 months at best. And I don't have much to say beyond that, other than
I don't
you're
think
right.
he's got six. I don't think he's got 6 months, frankly.
Yeah. You know, no, I'm being hopeful, like you guys said. I mean, I don't want Kamala. Can you imagine Kamala Harris as a president? Give me a break. But no, Biden's obviously got dementia. 6 months at best. I just wanted to echo the sentiment. I didn't want you to take them off.
No, it's okay. No, we actually have other stuff I got to talk about anyway. So it's kind of, you know,
well,
I just wanted to tell you, I want to apologize for that
earlier about the GOP. They are a disappointment, and nowadays politics is just nothing but a lesser of evils. They're less of a disappointment, but you're absolutely right. You were talking about McConnell, who I didn't even know it, because as you know, I don't follow the news anymore. But my buddy told me what McConnell did yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was. It made me sick to my stomach, and then I just, like, I got over it. But Republicans are freaking capitulators, and they suck, you know.
Yep.
They just suck less. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. I didn't want to take time away from you. I just had to say that because I think his name was Steve from Indiana.
Yeah.
Was absolutely right. He's got 100 days. That's it.
Yeah.
That guy's going.
Then but as Mike said, pray fervently for Biden for, you know, and who will be, you think about who would be the next vice president, which could even be worse, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think, I know she's more left of Biden, but I think Biden is an absolute moron, so I almost want Kamala Harris. Because what she'll do is she'll attempt to go to the center, and Biden just doesn't have mental capacity. I mean, he's got the nuclear football, you know? It's like, that's kind of a dangerous thing in my world anyways. But, you know, he needs the Secretary of Defense and all that to activate it. But he's just a fucking moron. Oh, and Hawkeye Mike was absolutely right about who starts the wars. It's always the fucking Democrats. It's not it's not the Republicans. But
yeah.
I don't want to hold your show up, but
no,
I
mean,
to that in. Steve made a good point, and I'm like, I got to chime in on that. It's 100 days, probably. Steve's probably right. It's probably 100 days. My guess is 6 months. 25th Amendment will be enacted, and then we've got – listen to this, folks. Then we've got Kamala Harris as our president.
Yeah, I can tell you if that happens, you might want to brush up on your on the lyrics to the Soviet national anthem.
Wrong. Steve also made a good point too, because I know about this. I talked to a guy who did his PhD on this. It's going to be fucking China. China's going to fucking eat our lunch. And you know Biden's going to capitulate to them. Steve's absolutely right when he said, you know, about the currency. They're, the yuan, I think it's the yuan. I forget what they
the yuan. It's the yuan.
Yeah, yuan. Yeah. Okay. It's going to go up. Ours is going to go down. Mark my words. China's going to own us. Steve was right. He made a point. They're going to own us in 10 years. And it's not even up for debate. You know, everyone says, well, you look at the 80s, and they said that about the Japanese. Well, this is totally different, the power structure and all of that. So
yeah, and the population itself is just
yeah. Well, I heard they have a bigger Navy than ours now. A bigger Navy than ours. I don't know if that's accurate. The person that said it usually says factual stuff, but he said their Navy is actually bigger than ours now. And then we looked up the nuclear arsenal. They've got enough to, you know, do damage, but we've got a lot more. But so what? So they blow up half the country, you know.
Exactly. Well, Vito threw something in nice in the chat room. Your next vice president would probably be Stacey Abrams. For having delivered Georgia twice for the Senate. Yeah.
Okay.
No,
now you're really freaking me out, so I'm going to let you go. If
she's
my president, this is. I don't even fall politics anymore. I know she is. I'm in Florida, as you know, right next to Georgia. And if she's my next vice president, holy shit, people. Fucking buckle up, because we're fucked.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to quickly throw that in. I didn't want you to cut that off.
No. I have to talk about and get through. So, but thanks for calling. And
I'll let you go. I just wanted to throw that shit in.
Okay, thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
You got it, buddy.
That was Brother Tommy. He's always good for some stuff. He's always got good stuff that we talk about. So, Vito had some stuff. Yeah, Democrat Party owes Stacey Abrams. You know, you think about Hunter Biden, you know, and what was he laying the groundwork for? You know, do you even can you even think about that? I mean, can you even wrap your mind around that? Hey, you know what? This show is called Hank Jones Poly Sports, so I'm going to get to some poly sports. That's where both politics and sports are involved. Okay, so which we all know by now, the Jacksonville Jaguars were successful in luring Urban Meyer out of retirement. Urban Meyer coached in college at Bowling Green at Utah, where he actually won a BCS bowl game. He then coached at Florida, where he won two national championships, and then left under weird circumstances. Said he was having health issues. And then went to Ohio State, won a national championship there, and then left there under some rather dubious circumstances, again, citing health things. I'll tell you what, the folks at Yahoo and the folks at ESPN, folks at Yahoo basically say the Jacksonville Jaguars only went for wins. Duh. What were they supposed to do? Said the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't consider the Rooney Rule in their hiring. Jacksonville Jaguars didn't look at, you know, race. They didn't look at, they didn't make sure that he'll have females on his staff. In other words, then they talk about his turning a blind eye to domestic violence, which we don't really know that whole scenario, but we know that it wasn't good. But so they're saying basically he's not woke enough. And Mrs. Hank does not like when I say woke, but it's the fact. They're basically complaining that he's not woke enough, that they didn't follow the Rooney rules and all that stuff, that the NFL just gives lip service to that, to diversity, et cetera. I don't doubt that. I guess my problem with – I just don't see Urban Meyer as a pro coach. You know, I just don't – you know, Pete Carroll has had limited success. Jimmy Johnson had success. Other than that, Steve Spurrier couldn't do it. Lou Holtz couldn't do it. Jim Harbaugh really didn't. He did okay, but he got drummed out. Yeah, he wasn't lasting there. So yeah, but the issue isn't even on his hire. I mean, that's what it's come to. The NFL enjoys an antitrust exemption, of course. So there's some say from quote unquote the American people, but the NFL still owned privately. They, when we have people coming out and saying who they should hire and how they should hire, we got problems. And so speaking of woke, I'm just trying to, Indy Hawk points out no transgender coaches in the NFL either. That's darn true. Speaking though of woke, guess who got invited to the inauguration? The title of it was history-making kicker Sarah Fuller invited to Joe Biden's inauguration. Now, look, I applaud that Vanderbilt did it. She was a girl and she kicked an extra point and all that. But, you know, is that really inauguration worthy? She said so. She says this historic inauguration is especially meaningful for American women and girls. The glass ceilings are breaking, and it is time to hashtag lead like a woman. Now, I get that Kamala Harris, being the first female vice president, who could, and folks were probably looking at our first female president as well, given what Steve and Mike talked about. But, you know, the bar gets a little lower all the time, you know. I mean, pretty soon it's going to be, you know, well, he did a rap video where nobody got killed or something, or he talked about saving cops, not killing. I mean, that's what we're getting to. The bar is getting lower and lower. Other poly sports news. Maryland, University of Maryland has agreed to settle with the McNair family, the family of Jordan McNair, for $3.5 million. Now, if you'll remember, Jordan McNair, University of Maryland offensive lineman, died of heat stroke during a football workout. Not sure why it was made public, the amount. Usually those aren't, but maybe there was no problem with it. But basically, tort laws in that state would have limited payments. And so I think that's why they settled the way they did. Jordan McNair was, I think, a redshirt freshman. They were doing a workout on May 29th of 2018. It was the first conditioning program or practice for that. He died 2 weeks later. He suffered heat stroke and never recovered. That's a tragic loss. I mean, I'm not saying that his parents don't deserve that. I'm just surprised that it was released like that, and a little surprised that in one sense that it wasn't done sooner. I mean, it's been 2.5 years for his parents and or any other family members. So that's kind of it cost Coach DJ Durkin his job. Cost the strength and conditioning coach his job. Ironic in a way. There was also using food as punishment and or withholding, extreme verbal abuse, blah, blah, blah. Here's the good news on that. DJ Durkin was hired as an assistant by Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. So it becomes a, you know, one person's firing is another school's hiring. Courts have upheld some convictions. Vito remembers this story because it was on my very first day on GPR on May 22nd of 2019. One story I talked about was the FBI and the NCAA basketball scandal. Several figures in that, James Gatto, former Adidas employee, former Adidas consultant, Merle Code, business manager Christian Dawkins, who was like an agent wannabe. They were all convicted and found of various charges, felony charges, wire fraud, conspiracy, et cetera. They were basically paying money from Adidas to families of recruits to ensure that they signed with Adidas schools. They appealed it and on appeal it upheld. So says basically what they said. In their appeal, they contend that the government failed to prove that they intended to defraud the universities and that their intent was instead to help the universities. They argued that under-the-table payments to student-athletes are widespread and that indeed many college coaches are aware of and endorse it. They argue that the kids on the court are the ones, you know, sweating the blood and all that, and that so they should be getting it. The judge panel, three-person panel, said no, they didn't agree. While they might have broken NCAA rules, they didn't commit federal crimes since payments were handed, and the court disagreed with that. They upheld the convictions of Gatto, Dawkins, and Merle, so Merle Code. So that's kind of good news. Getting ready to sign off. I just want everyone to remember 10 GOP House members who voted for impeachment. David Valadao of California, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Peter Meyer and Fred Upton of Michigan, John Katko of New York, Anthony Gonzalez, former Buckeye of Congressman from Ohio, Tom Rice of South Carolina, and Jamie Herrera Butler and Dan Newhouse of Washington, and then the Dr. Zayas of the bunch, Liz Cheney from Wyoming. Reason I say the Dr. Zayas, we talked about the media. Steve talked about them. If the media says it, you know, then it's true. In this case, it was the Dr. Zayas that, you know, if Dr. says it, Zayas said it, all the apes in the Planet of the Apes had to go along with it. And that's, in this case, Liz Cheney led this group. So, yeah, those are their names. I don't have a real laughy for today. I would try to have a little laughy at every thing, but after Bitch Mitch's failed attempt at humor, and after having to sit through a day where it's acknowledged that Joe Biden is our alleged president, it's kind of tough to have a laughy for today. In any event, you have been on Hank Jones Poly Sports, part of Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio Network. I want to thank Vito, one of our station managers, and Indy Hawk, KB, for being in the chat room. I want to thank Mrs. Hank for being here in Electric Hank Land, also over in Hank Haven, the western extension of our studio here. Hawkeye Mike, Hoosier Steve, Brother Tommy for calling in. A couple other callers were listening in, a sister, and we got a caller from the 505 area code who's listening in. I want to thank her or he or him for being here. It's been fun. We'll have happier stuff to talk about, hopefully. Upcoming games for Iowa. Iowa's got a game tomorrow night, as we talked about, hosting Indiana. And then Sunday's game with Nebraska has been canceled or postponed. Nebraska's in pause right now. Their coach, Fred Hoiberg, came down with COVID, evidently. And ironically, his former school, Iowa State, is also on COVID hiatus right now. They've had a game or two canceled due to COVID. So, you know, it's hard to say. You know, people say, well, Joe will cure COVID, so to speak, or Joe will wipe out COVID. Maybe. You know, it depends on what it is. I think, for instance, in sports, they're going to try and utilize the COVID as much as they can to try and disrupt. I just think there's just too much animosity against the sports world by the left. So, I just, you know, we'll see. Let's hope that the NCAA tournament does not get canceled. I don't think it will, but you might see schools. You've seen a few schools opt out of the season, mainly on the female side of the sport, and I'm sure there's been men's programs with nothing high profile. Again, I want to remind everyone, Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky are not in this week's top 25. Indy Hawk KB pointed out in the chat room, it's been 60 years since that happened. So again, stay tuned, watch your news where you can. I'd say Newsmax, Fox News, occasionally from some of their shows, and watch them, see what's going on. I've seen people that are saying they're leaving Twitter and Facebook. I actually advise against that. You need to keep those media honest, and you can't do that if you just walk away from them. If you just, you know, take the ball and go home, so to speak. So I would urge people to stay on those. You don't have to post a lot. You don't have to click on their advertisers. You don't have to buy from their ad or whatever. And, you know, in the past, I've said boycotts aren't a good thing. I'm starting to realize that in certain cases, maybe they are. If that's important to you, how a company does their politics, then by all means, let them know with your pocketbook. Let your sport, as I said last week, let your sports institutions know. Let your school alma maters know. If you got kids in school, keep their teachers and their administrators, you know, keep them honest, keep their feet to the fire. Don't settle for indoctrination and just throw up your hands and say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. There is something you can do about it. Speak up. You're responsible for your child anyway. You know, don't turn your teacher into a babysitter. You turn your teacher into a babysitter, you get left-wing indoctrination. That's exactly what you get. And guess what? You get what you deserve for that. So anyway, thanks for being here. As I said, those of you that called in, those of you in the chat room, those that were listening and not piping up either way, but thank you for being here. We are going to send you off with our closing theme from Jeff Beck, Head for Backstage Pass. Y'all have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.